Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hello, it's not Steve Arterburn. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve. And I'm blessed here today because I'm with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Good to be with you.
We are blessed to be here as well.
Yes, it's great to be here,
yeah,
as always.
You know, I want to get to the phones real quick, but I do want to just share with people that we have a real need for our scholarship fund. It's been depleted. We've been giving away scholarships, and it's helping people get the help they need.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an inkling of a thought that you might want to support New Life, we're asking you, please make a gift to the scholarship fund. You can do that over the phone. You can go online, or you could put something in the mail to us, but please do something on that today. We really need your help. And with that, I want to go right to the phones, okay, and see if we can get
good.
We have a full board and see what we can get to here today. And where did that call go? There it is. Okay, we're going to go to Terry from Dallas on line 5, listens online. Hello, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. What's going on with you?
Okay. I have a bit of a dilemma I need your help with. I already know the answer, I think, but I need to know the right way to go about it. I'm the oldest of 5 children. There's 4 girls and 1 boy. And of the 4 girls, our father fondled or molested 3 of us. One I just found out about 2 weeks ago. All of this happened about 15 to 20 years ago. And he did everything but just stopped short of actual intercourse. Well, now my father is about to marry a woman who has 5 preteen teenage daughters, I mean granddaughters, that will be coming to spend the summers with her, and I feel like she should know in order to protect her grandchildren. If you knew my father, you wouldn't guess that he was the type of person who would do the things that he did to us. And I've never said anything before. It's always been a big family secret. And I broached the subject with one of my siblings that he molested also, and she was very angry, very furious with me for even suggesting that I tell someone outside of our family and that I was trying to destroy my father's life. And she told me this happened 15 or 20 years ago, get over it and let the past stay in the past. But I feel a moral obligation to protect the innocent children. And I also feel like the lady that he's marrying should have an idea to be on the alert just in case he still has that. And I spoke with my father about it, and I told him that I actually urged him to tell her. And I told him some of the struggles that I had gone through and trying to get over what he did to me. And we had a very honest, candid conversation, one we have not had in a very, very long time. And he told me that he could not tell her and that he did not want to lose her and that that's not the type of person that he is anymore. And he apologized again for everything that he'd done to me, which is nothing new because he apologized a lot when I was a kid, but he always still continued to do what he was doing to me right after a huge client session of apologizing.
Wow.
So I'm just wondering.
Okay, well.
I feel like, yes, I should definitely tell her, but okay. I don't want to lose my family.
Okay, we're going to be going to a break, and we'll be talking about that here and come back to you and see what we can do to help you. Yeah, you're in a tough spot. It's not hard. It's not easy. So you hang on here, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are on the line with Terry in Dallas, and she's in a tough predicament. Her father, who molested her, is going to be married, and the new wife has grandchildren that are underage, and she's concerned that the fiancé of her father should know about the molestation.
Mm-hmm. So, Terry, I'm assuming that your dad has not done anything to get help for this?
No, and that was part of the conversation I had with him last week, and he told me, no, he'd never had any kind of therapy. He said he'd prayed about it, and he's repented, and he's not that person anymore, but I don't trust him around my children. And when I asked him, because I just found out about my other sibling, my youngest sister, we're 13 years apart. I found out about her last week. And I asked him about that, and he denied firmly that he had never touched her, ever, ever, ever. And he seemed so sincere, so sincere. So I doubted it, and I called her, and I asked her, because I had not heard it specifically from her, so I asked her, and she told me, yes, he had done those things to her also.
Mm-hmm. And Terry, it just, what were the age range in terms of the period?
Okay, so my parents separated when I was 12, and so I started spending summer, all five of us started spending summer with him.
Okay.
I was the oldest, so I was 12, and he molested me from the time I was 13 to 17 when I finally just left. And that whole time while I was there, I was on guard and protecting my siblings to make sure mm-hmm. that he did not touch them.
Mm.
But it was
so
very hard.
Yeah, to hear this latest news must be devastating for
you. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Terry.
But he molested her over 12 years after he had stopped with me.
And was she the only other sibling?
There were three.
No, I have one that, yeah.
So but I mean, the only other one that was.
I'm the oldest of five. Yeah, but that I knew about my other sister, but I didn't know about the youngest until a couple weeks ago. And she had no idea about us, which was weird because I told my mom when I was 17 what my dad had done and that she needed to make sure that she knew so she wouldn't continue to send the children down there.
Yeah.
Well, she told me that she was giving my siblings the option of whether or not to continue to visit him.
Okay.
So why she was giving them the option.
Terry,
to do what he was doing.
Terry, first and foremost, I am so sorry of what's happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is, there's not a girl, a woman on planet Earth that this should happen to. It's not God's intention in this. And if you'll bear with me, I want to kind of pull out of this to kind of explain a, like maybe a more of a bird's eye view of it. And that is when there is this much sexual abuse mm-hmm. being created in the home, that means that one of the psychological results of that is a very, very high level of shame. And when there is that high level of shame, it creates an internal feeling of threat, meaning the secret is a threat. And if it comes out, my life will end. And that's what your sister's reaction to, you know, cutting you off and going through the roof, if you were ever to reveal this secret, that's the result of what's called a trauma bond. And that is, she is bonded to your dad in her trauma, and you seem to be the most separated or detached from that.
Yes.
In that, there is a saying, especially it's used a lot in the recovery circles, and that is, we are as sick as our secrets. Mm-hmm. And this secret, and secrecy and deceit, keep this stuff alive and going. And I want to make that crystal clear. Okay. If this is in the dark, it will not stop.
Yes.
And if we're not willing to bring it up and talk about it and get the help that we need, it will continue. And so I want to affirm your, kind of when you called in and said, I think mm-hmm. I know what to do, I want to affirm that. And Jill, in how she does that,
first of all, I want you to be prepared.
He's getting married this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just found out about the grandkids last week.
And you just found out about that last week.
Yes. And I called him immediately.
Good for you.
Yeah,
and your role has been that protector, and you've continued to do that. Terry, you need a lot of support around you, because in bringing this out, everyone around you is probably going to make you wish that you had never said anything, right? The system is going to want to go back to how it was, because it was dysfunctional.
Contained.
It was functioning as it limped along. And so to expose this to the light means you're going to feel a lot of pain and probably separation from the family.
How would you recommend she go about it?
Well, I think time is short.
Yeah.
And so do you have contact with the woman that your dad is marrying?
I can get in contact with her, yes.
Okay. Well,
I've given him, about 5 days mm-hmm. to do it. Because like it was best to come from him.
Okay.
Yes.
So he could spin it any way that he wanted to,
right.
as long as she knew to be aware.
Right.
But he's made me feel so guilty. He's like, I'm 62 years old, almost 70 years old. You're going to give me a heart attack with this? And I thought you'd gotten over this. And what do you want me to do?
Yeah, and
so
these
sorry.
Girls are the same
so
age.
Guilty.
Yeah.
The same age that you were, right? Yeah.
And if I can just jump in, that flipping of the guilt,
mm-hmm.
flipping of the responsibility, as well as the protection of the secret, that is abuse itself.
Oh, absolutely. And just the way you have talked about your dad, how good he is, he almost convinced you that something wasn't true, that he is a master manipulator that way.
Yeah, he is.
And the fact that the first time he was caught and it came out, you know, nothing changed for him. He continued. He could be so sincere. I mean, that's kind of sociopathic, really.
Absolutely.
You know,
predatorial.
Absolutely, yeah. Terry. So I'm sure he's very charming, and he will convince this woman otherwise. But I think you have to ask her that you have some hard truth that you've wanted your dad to share with her, and you don't think he has, and ask her if she wants to hear the truth, you know, that it is a matter of protecting her grandchildren. And you know, I think you can say, I'm so sorry to have to tell you this, but mm-hmm. this is what has come to light. I wanted my dad to tell you. I don't think he's able to.
Boy, Terry, we are going to be praying for you. This is really going to be tough these next few days. And I'd like to, maybe what we could offer to you is a subscription, a year's subscription to tv.newlife.com.
Yeah.
There is so many resources on there that just might help you as mm-hmm. you go through this in the weeks and months to follow, because this is going to be tough. But you're a brave woman, and I think God's Spirit's moving in you for you to even have this wisdom and want to take the steps you're taking.
Yeah, and look at your resources in your community. Is there church resources,
groups,
community resources that just, you know, survivor groups?
Are you married?
Right.
Are you married, Terry?
Yes, I'm married. I'm 16 years next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terry, the other thing is, I want you to be prepared for the fact that she might not listen to you.
Yes.
and that isn't your fault.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I just don't want her thinking that she can just leave the house with the kids sleeping and go to the store and get milk. I just want her to be prepared.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, and if she feels obligated to tell her children so that she comes to visit them, her grandkids, instead of them coming to her house, I just want her to know what she has to deal with. And if he never touches them, that would be awesome, but I want to make sure that I've done what I feel God is telling me to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but there might, I think what I heard you say, Joe, was to be prepared in case she doesn't do the things that you think she ought to be doing.
Right, mm-hmm. right. She may not hear that because he will discount you, and I would even predict that to her. He's going to discount me and deny this if he doesn't come clean with it, with you. And he will make me look like I'm crazy, and I just want you to be aware of that. See, if you predict it before, you know, that plants a seed.
Yeah.
But you can't, all you can do is share the information, Terry.
And you don't feel like it's malicious after all these years.
No.
And all my whole family.
Yes.
You're going to be the laughing stock of the town, and you're just being mean and malicious. You don't want him to be happy.
And I agree. Yeah. That's abusive in and of itself. Mm-hmm. That is their shame and them wanting to just keep this amongst family and not have anything change. And it's got to.
Yeah. Okay. And the thing that I think one of the biggest faith acts that we are, or truths that we can believe in, is that Jesus came in the fullness of truth and grace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've got to have truth here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And for you, Terry, we will definitely be praying for God's imminent grace in your life.
Yeah, call us back, Terry.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know how it goes.
Thank you so much. Well, let's go to another call, and maybe it will be
You know what? I just have to say, bless her for being willing.
Oh, man,
you
know? Courage is incredible.
It is incredible, and we want to be here to support her.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk to Anna in Philadelphia. Listens on WBYN. Hello, Anna.
Hi. My question was about my 19-year-old son. He just turned 19. He's very, very depressed, and I don't know what else to do for him.
What have you done?
I have taken him to all kinds of counselors.
Okay.
He actually, when he talked, I tried to not even go to work, not even if I need to go to the bathroom, I'll just sit there and listen to everything he has to say. And mainly what he said to me is that every time he goes to counseling, he's gotten to counseling, he's just gotten worse, because I think that he's not telling them everything. I think he's just starting to say certain things, and I think the last time he was at counseling, it was a combination of a school and group counseling, because he wasn't going to school, his last year of school, and that's the one other thing I found, and I enrolled him there. And he told the counselor that he might have PTSD, which he knows what it is a trauma that, you know, he's gone through. Not that I know of, because he's not talking, but the counselor told him, no, you don't. And that was left at that. So that was the last experience he's had with counseling. I took him to counseling since he was, I would say, 7, because he started gaining a little more weight than what I thought he should, and that was right after my 5-month-old died. And I just wanted to make sure it wasn't because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Every counselor I've been with him to that had nothing to do with that, and 2 years after my 5-month-old died, my husband and I separated. We separated for the last 10 years. But I've raised my 2 kids on my own, mm-hmm. and going through this is—I just feel like I'm hitting wall.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what else to do. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anna, I'm wondering what the possibility is of perhaps your son having been molested?
I have no idea. He wouldn't talk. He's told me a few things that my husband has done as far as made him eat something at a point that he didn't like, and he threw up, and then he got smacked for it. And I wasn't around for that. This wasn't his dad. I had him before I was married. The son that died was, of course, his brother, but but my husband's son.
Okay.
Okay, Anna, we're going to take a break for this commercial break, and we're going to come back and see what we can do to help you. I wanted just to remind folks that we have a couple of workshops coming up. Marriage Solution Workshop is in Dallas, November the 6th, and Healing is a Choice the same weekend, both in Dallas. And then Women in the Battle is the week after in Washington, D.C. These are amazing workshops. We've got great counselors coming, great speakers. And you're going to want to be there. So give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE. Ask about our workshops. We'll be back right after this.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Artiber from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep, and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Anna. Her son is depressed, and we were just looking at some of the reasons why. And what do you guys think?
I just want to first understand. So you've taken him to counseling, Anna. Has he ever seen a psychiatrist for the depression?
Right before we went to that group type school together so he can be in his school too, there was a psychologist that diagnosed him and said that he was depressed.
Okay,
so, a psychologist.
Okay, but has he then been to a psychiatrist to have any interventions that way?
Which would be a medical doctor.
Yeah, that's the person who diagnosed him and was eligible to go to this group thing.
Has he been given any medication?
Yeah, he's been given some medication, and he's taken it and not taken it and taken it and not taken it. There's no more for the last, 3 months now, because he's not, and he doesn't want to go get any more medication. He says it doesn't help him. It just makes him groggy and makes him more sad, and then he gets hold of pot once in a while, and he'll smoke it. And he says that he's more depressed, and we've talked to the counselor about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anna,
and it's just a cycle that he goes through.
Yeah, do you think that he feels like anybody really gets what he's going through?
No, and absolutely not. This is why he told me that I'm the only one that he actually is told or talks to, because he just doesn't feel comfortable. He feels like people think he's weird because he's gained some weight. Mm-hmm. Not only weird, but, you know, judging him no matter what, like, he wouldn't come down when there's people at the house, because even though they're there to see him too, and then if he does come afterwards, he feels even worse because, for example, he's gotten presents for his birth and he wasn't down there to say thank you or anything. So, because everybody
thinks pretty much hides.
Yeah. And Anna, I'm looking at the whole length of your son's life. Mm. And one of the things that I do when I'm working with people that have experienced trauma is I just have them develop a timeline of the difficult things, challenging, hurtful, painful things that have happened in their life. In just our short time together, Anna, you're telling me some very, mm-hmm. very significant things that have happened in your son's life. The death of his younger brother, which was, make no mistake about it, was a huge, huge loss for him.
I felt that, but everybody was telling me he doesn't even remember. And he does.
He was 7 years old.
He was 5 at the time.
He was five years old.
I took him at the counselor when he was 7 because I just noticed some change.
Okay, so follow me out here. So no matter what anyone else said, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. So then soon after that, there is the separation of the marriage. And so he loses family. He loses brother. He loses family. He's sent, he gains weight. There's some sort of, it sounds like difficult or even possible shame around weight gain, which he may just be trying to feel better through food, which is a very common, coping mechanism.
Told me that.
And then as that continues throughout his life, just not really having a voice, not really being heard on how these things have impacted him, what he's feeling. And he may not be able to identify those, but I'm telling you, a good therapist will help him find the language to identify what he's feeling and be able to communicate that in a way that can be both healing and connecting and help resolve some of these things in his own life.
I understand that. That's why I've been trying many therapists.
I haven't found one. Let us connect you with someone at our call center who could get you to a therapist that's connected with us.
Right. And Anna, I if you haven't already, I want you to tell your son that you believe him about the PTSD, that you know that there's a lot of things that have been traumatic for him. And sometimes it's kind of more of a cumulative trauma where there are so many things that build up, they kind of domino. And then you find someone who's very depressed and people go, well, why are you depressed? Well, it's all these things that have added up, and then the misattunement from different people. I'm glad that he has you, and I think it's you being the voice of we're not giving up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to search and search, but you don't give up until you find the right kind of help, the right kind of treatment, the right diagnosis, all of those things.
Anna, I think what we'd like to do is give you a subscription to TV.NewLife. There's some things there on depression.
And maybe that would be good for him to
to take a look at that. And I want, when we go back to the call screener, Ask her to get you in touch with somebody who can help you find a counselor in your area, because our counselors are in line with what we do. They're Christian. We vetted them for their schooling. I mean, they're good people. I think that you'll find a better chance of finding somebody to help you if you let us find someone for you. But thank you for calling, Anna. Club New Life. Club New Life is our monthly giving program. And since I have the opportunity to talk on the mic for a minute, I'm going to talk about giving. We need your help. One of the ways you can help us, sign up. It's an automatic giving program. And when you do that, we have a special gift that we'll give you. It's several things. We have a tote bag, a New Life tote bag. We have a coffee mug. It says on it, hope in the storm, help in the struggle. We have a thumb drive that's loaded with audio of 5 of the most viewed segments on New Life TV. We have John Townsend's book, You Can Do This. We have some note cards that Steve Arterburn drew, the poppies, when he visited Israel. But this is all so that we can continue this ministry that helps people and helps this radio program come to you. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Larry Sonnenberg here with Dr. Jill and with Chris Williams. We're going to go back to the phones, but I just want to remind the guys, Every Man's Battle is coming up November 6th in Orange County, California. We're just last week we came off of an Every Man's Battle workshop, and it is an amazing weekend. I'm telling you, men's eyes are open. They get to understand why they have been doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And some of the woundedness in their past, some of their insecurities, their lack of ability to be intimate and push people out. I mean, it's...
I know, Larry, we were saying before that it's even more than sexual integrity issues.
Yeah.
Right? It's really everything you describe, relational issues and people that just have a hard time connecting. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's sometimes better labeled as an intimacy disorder.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, yes.
The inability to know
that's
and be
sexual
known
addiction, the basis of that,
without it
being right?
sexualized. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Men mistake, men mistake intensity for intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want to just encourage you to go, guys. It's amazing. Light bulbs go off, and even the guys that go there under duress because their wife said, you will go or else, or whatever, they come there angry, mean, just out of sorts, and they walk away a different guy. So,
and if I could, speak to the men on this.
Yeah.
When we suffer under these, especially for the Christian man who doesn't want it to be a part of his life, mm-hmm. it feels like if this were to ever be revealed, it could feel like death, mm-hmm. Like the
Absolutely.
End of their lives. To go into a weekend where you get to be with other guys.
No shame zone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The no shame zone. It has such a healing effect. I'm not saying it doesn't cure.
Right.
But boy, does it start the process
yeah.
very, very well to know that you are not alone in this. And we know statistically, sexual addiction, pornography is hitting our culture like a tsunami.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to rally together. So guys, if you struggle with this, don't hesitate. Get signed up.
Thank you. I want to also say about the marriage workshop. I mentioned that before the break. That workshop, a lot of times we talk on the radio about how marriages that are in totally disarray, last-ditch effort. They come to the workshop. Good things happen. You don't need to be in that type of a marriage to gain benefit from our workshop.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. We address every level of a marriage, right?
And I just want to point that out because it's fun to talk about these drastic changes.
Mm-hmm.
But you might just be a few degrees off and need some correction and some change. And it's really good for that. So,
and we put people together with kind of
try to get
other
the
couples
like.
That are in a similar
position.
We do
the best we can with that, right. Okay, let's go to line two and talk to Lynn, Fort Collins, Colorado, listens on KRKS. Hello, Lynn.
Hello to all three of you. I've been listening to this program for over 13 years and feel like I've really grown from listening to your answers to other people's questions.
Okay, well, now you get to ask yours.
That's right. Well, I have a reoccurring scenario that happens with girlfriends of mine. I feel like if a girlfriend has a struggle they're going through, difficult marriage, something going on, I think I'm a pretty good listener, and I'll listen for a while, but I'm also very much a problem solver, so I'm already trying to think of practical ways that maybe they can work on it and all. But I try to listen first and not say anything or hold back. But if it goes on and then moves from like a really serious thing to getting nitpicky, I just kind of come to the end of my rope and want to just say, you know what, here's what you need to do, boom, 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 and then I've hurt them. But when I can't sleep at night sometimes worrying about people's problems and trying to problem solve for them, and it frustrates me to hear yes, but, or the same scenario continue even years.
And Lynn, you're not even getting paid, and you lay awake at night.
So I guess what I'm asking is, I see this occurring enough with girlfriends that I know that I must be part of the problem, and I'm just wondering, is it boundaries I need to learn? Am I attracted to people with issues? Is it better to listen and let people get all this stuff off their chest? I mean, what if it goes on for hours? I just get to the end of my rope and find myself getting frustrated, like they're just looking for problems to gripe about.
Well, I'm hoping that you're not sitting and listening to people for hours upon hours. And so some of that, Lynn, it sounds like you are someone that has some confidence and mm-hmm. that you are a rather decisive person. Mm-hmm. And I think when people find themselves in a struggle and they are very ambivalent about what to do, you know, you are a comforting person for them to kind of discharge their angst onto.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we women, we do that for each other. We vent to each other, and then we feel better. And that's part of how we support each other. If you are someone that is really good at listening and you ask really intriguing questions, you are going to invite more of that. And so a person who is sharing their stuff, it feels really good too.
Mm-hmm.
They lose kind of a track of time. In a sense of maybe they've overstepped a boundary because they've gotten into the emotion of it, because, Lynn, it sounds like you are able to contain mm-hmm. and to be there. So, instead of waiting for them to kind of get the hint, I do think at times you have to step in and say, you know, you have to shift the conversation
mm-hmm.
and, you know, let them know that, wow, this has been great, you know, talking with you about this, you know. Do you mind if I share something now? And make it more of a two-way relationship so that you're not everybody's therapist, because you will burn out.
I do tend to fall into that. And then what sometimes happens is I get sad. I mean, not necessarily with the person, that there's such a disparity that now that person thinks, woe is me, I got so many problems. And, oh, mm-hmm. Lynn, your life is so easy. And then I feel like, that's not the case at all, but I don't want to. It's not like I want to now come up and say, well, I have I don't want to try to meet their thing. I just want to be sad with them.
Right.
So I don't usually try to, you know, balance it out by sharing my own thing, you know.
Right. And I think that is again, something that you offer that a lot of people don't, and that is that you are trying to sit with them in their feelings. But I think if you are never vulnerable, mm-hmm. it sets you up.
Yeah.
And yeah. even you don't have to match their level of problem. Mm. But I think at times you do have to share because mm-hmm. it the inequality is not good in friendship.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And both will get resentful.
Well, the other thing, yeah. one of the things that I've learned from Mylan at a marriage mm-hmm. workshop, I know this isn't talking about marriage, but he says when Kay, sometimes she'll start to unload about problems of the day or how things were going, and he'll say, is this listen or fix it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So you know, do they just want to vent and talk, or do they want help trying to solve a problem? Because sometimes just the venting will be the therapy that they need.
And that's a good point, and I am learning that with some girlfriends. So mm-hmm. if they say they just want to vent, like, should there be a time limit, or should I be the one who judges, okay, I get the picture, you know?
Yeah, I
there should be.
Wholeheartedly agree with that. And mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, you know, we're looking for companionship in our problems, mm-hmm. and we could easily get stuck there mm-hmm. and identify around it. But Lynn, what I want to let you know is, even as a therapist, which is a much different relationship, therapist yes. to client, than friend to mm-hmm. friend, I can't explain enough of how different that relationship is. But there's always limitations.
Yes.
And it's to know what your limitations are and to stay in it. Sometimes, you know, we hear it like, oh, you got to get out of the box. I find myself telling people, no, get in your box. Meaning, like, don't get outside of your limitations, because then you do get frustrated, because mm-hmm. then you do lie awake at night, mm-hmm. because you do get frustrated that people aren't following your very wise counsel.
Mm-hmm. I've even thought about counseling at different points in my life, but then thought, you know, I don't think I can handle it. I don't know if I'd ever sleep at night because I would be analyzing and thinking of, you know, different things able to let it go.
Here's the other thing, Lynn. It's not your job to solve their mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, even as a friend, that's not your role. Mm-hmm. And most people don't, you know, you've heard this, most people don't really take advice.
Mm-hmm.
But see, okay. as they talk out loud, they are figuring out some of it.
Yes.
You know, that's the very help, is them talking out loud, which is why they want to go on and on. But there's also this thing called the repetition compulsion, where we continue to repeat and go through the same problems over and over again and come to the same spot. And when you find that, that's when somebody needs a professional that can help them move beyond that if they want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Lynn, thank you for calling. I'm kind of stuck on New Life TV subscriptions today. I think that's so good.
That's the only thing you can...
There's a lot of good
well,
stuff on there.
There's so much there. I went out there this morning and was looking at it, and it's like, holy smokes, everybody needs to be looking at this. So, Lynn, we're going to give you a subscription to that. Okay, Women of Faith tonight in St. Paul, Minnesota. $20 discount with the code SA20 if you go to womenoffaith.com. We'll be back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me, because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to take another call here. I just have two things I want to remind folks about. Ultimate Intimacy Workshop. It's the first time we're going to do this. It's going to be here in Irvine, Orange County, California, and it will take place on Valentine's Day weekend, February 12th to 14th. Kicking that off on Friday is going to be Francis Chan. I forgot, had a brain numb there for a minute. Francis Chan is going to speak. Marilyn Meberg will speak. Martinkus, Shelley, and Jason will come and speak, and then Mylon Kay will do the bulk of the work on Saturday. And so we want you to come. It's about learning intimacy. And we want couples to come and just experience and learn what intimacy is. And then the last thing I wanted to share is we have this We Dared campaign. We talk a lot about every man's battle. But We Dared is for guys that maybe they're not ready to admit or acknowledge, or maybe they don't have quite the problem to go to every man's battle, but they could use some help in bouncing their eyes and just keeping their mind focused. Take a 30-day challenge. Go to WeDared.com and learn about our challenge. You'll get a daily email for 30 days with some scripture and some tips, and it will be good. We're going to go to line one and talk to Andrea in Sacramento. Andrea, how can we help you today?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I have my husband was a firefighter, and he struggled with addiction for many years, and last year I asked him to either move out or get help, and he ended up in a rehab, and he was successful for the first 60 days, but once he moved into the second phase, he ended up being desperate and committed a crime to get money for drugs, and he's now serving his first sentence in prison. At the time, I had a 14-month-old and a 3-week-old. And now it's been over a year, and my 14-month-old is over 2.5, and my other one is almost 18 months. And we haven't told him, you know, that daddy's in trouble. We visit often. I know that it's going to come up. He has an additional 3 years left. And he's starting to say things like, you know, daddy, come with us. I don't want to leave. You know, I want daddy home. Because my husband was a firefighter and his crime, you know, was a nonviolent crime, he's serving at a fire camp. So he's working technically as an inmate firefighter. So we tell him, you know, daddy's working. He's working on the fire truck. My husband wants to be completely honest with our children, you know, as they get older. I'm not sure what to tell them, you know, as far as age appropriate. I'm just kind of wanting to do things the right way, and I feel like we've been given, like, a second chance in our marriage and our family. And I don't want to lie to him, but I don't want to, you know, tell him something that he can't handle.
Yeah, Andrea, I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate that your husband does want to be honest with them and come clean at a certain point. I think that he's, a lot of times we do take cues from what kids are asking. And I might explore, you know, we've talked about daddy working on the fire truck. What else do you think about daddy being gone so much? And see, you know, what are his thoughts about it? How far do those thoughts go? And also ask him, how does it feel to not have daddy here? Mm-hmm. You know, to help him. I mean, he's 2.5, so he may not have a lot of language, but to kind of maybe help put some words to it. That does he feel sad? He misses Daddy. He wishes Daddy were here. And I think also to express that, and maybe your husband is doing this, that he wishes he was there too.
Yeah.
That he hasn't left because he doesn't want to be with him.
Yeah, we do try, and we talk about him often. And we're honest as far as, you know, it makes Mommy sad too, and Daddy's mm-hmm. so sad he can't be here. And so we talk about it as often, you know, as much as it comes up. I try to be honest with our feelings, and, you know, I know that, you know, he's going to be almost six by the time he comes home, and I know that it's going to come up, you know, I guess I didn't expect that it would come up so soon. I think that his language is developing, so he has words to express how he's feeling now, which is, you know, I guess I was surprised at how soon it came up.
Yeah.
And I know that it's only more is coming, and I don't know, you know, when do you tell him Daddy got into trouble and he has to stay there? He's, you know, he can't come home.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, and I like the fact that you're wanting to not create a non-reality for your children.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes answers are evolving answers and that you give them a little bit more as time goes on. And so, you know, you let him know, you know, Daddy would come home if he could, but unfortunately he's not able to come home. He has work there that he has to do that they don't allow him to leave for. And start giving him things like that instead of putting a label, because he doesn't really have a context for prison, right? What does that mean?
No. Yeah.
So you kind of slowly define it, and you give him a little bit more with his questions, and you let him chew on that. And so what do you think about that? What does it make you think about? But you kind of, again, take your cues from him, and you don't give him more than he needs. But as more questions come up, then you're going to be revealing more and more to him.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, trust yourself. You're wanting to be honest. You're not trying to withhold a secret. You're trying to explain it in the best way at the right time.
Age appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? And so you have to kind of, as a mom, kind of intuitively sense when that's the right time for your kid.
Okay.
Yeah, and just to affirm that, we're looking at two things. We're looking at the context of the relationship, and then we're looking at the information that that can be handled.
Yes, because it's not just about the information.
Yes.
It's about how you do this. How do we handle difficult things in a kid's life?
Yeah, and I really like what you said, Jill, and that is to keep connecting with him, keep on his level and both of your children's level as they start having questions, or even what all of us parents to a greater or lesser degree have, and that is seeing our children in hurt or loss or pain over things that they don't have any control over.
Right.
We tend to want to automatically fix that.
Right, make them feel okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's hard because this is such a tough situation that I want to shield them from any, you know, further pain, and I want to make it as happy of an experience as possible, you know, as being able to connect and be with each other. So it's hard to make it negative or let it be negative.
Well, one of the things that, again, just to actually echo what Jill was saying, is, Andrea, I want you to be able to trust the power that you have as mom. It is a tremendous power that God has given to mothers. As you care for your children well, as you protect and develop the relationship with them and help develop and protect the relationship with their father over time, this information will naturally come up. And to match the language and the understanding of your children, you'll be able to do really well. And I guess the big word here is I'm hearing a lot of positive things from you today, and I want you to be able to trust it.
Right, right. Okay. And you're creating the environment where they know that nothing is off limits to talk about.
Exactly.
And you're teaching them how we talk about things. And you not wanting it to be negative, no, it's okay if some of it's negative, because you're teaching them how to navigate those negative waters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrea, thank you for calling. This was a good hour. There was some heavy stuff. I like ending on a little bit lighter note and talking with a little child about
hope here. These kids are still in the making, right?
Yeah.
She can do it differently.
Absolutely.
So they don't have to make the same mistake their dad made.
Thank you for listening. I wish I had time to read what I wanted to read. Go to Ephesians 1 and read the Thanksgiving and prayer starting in verse 15. That's what we think about you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.